Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. So last Sunday morning, we started a series of messages on principles of spiritual growth. Last week, we talked about the importance of faith. This morning, we talk about time, the importance of time in our spiritual growth. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Starting in chapter 40 through the rest of the book, chapter 66, there's 27 chapters that have a remarkable resemblance of the New Testament, which has 27 books. It begins with John the Baptist in chapter 40. And it begins telling, or it is predicting, what will happen during the Babylonian captivity. So the northern kingdom's already been taken away to Assyria, but the southern kingdom of Judah has not even yet been taken away into captivity. But they did eventually go into captivity, as Jeremiah prophesied, for 70 years. So there's a prediction of how they can be encouraged that 150 years from now, people would read this and be able to say, wait a minute, we're in difficulty, there's trials, there's struggles, but we can look forward to, as we wait, anticipate that God is going to strengthen us. So the idea of waiting is one of anticipation. We're looking forward, but we're waiting on God to do something very special. So the Bible is filled with many principles, their commands, their do's, their don'ts. But when we learn those principles and we can apply them to our everyday life, it helps us in our spiritual walk. And we're going to talk today about the element of time. The element of time. Time's an interesting thing. It's very difficult to explain. St. Augustine said the experience that he observed, what then is time? If no one asks me, I know. If I wish to explain it to one that asks, I know not. You can't use the word time to define the word time, and it's difficult to explain it. We all know what it is, but yet it's difficult to explain. But time is necessary for our Christian growth. It just takes time to accomplish certain things. Time is something we deal with every day. It's something that I suppose we all think we understand, though we may not be able to define it. I remember some of you here today that you weren't even married. Now, as time has gone by, you have not only children, but grandchildren. That's because of the element of time. Things change. One day you look in the mirror and you say, what's my father doing here in front of the mirror? And you realize time has changed certain things. So time is an element we all have to deal with. With God, time is rather meaningless. Psalm 90 in verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. For him, there's something called eternity. Eternity past, eternity future. Time does not have the same element that it does for you and for me. He does not have the same perspective. And so with him, a day is as 1,000 years. And we know that someday in the future, time will be meaningless to us, because it talks about eternal life, everlasting life, a new heaven, new earth, and to be with the Lord forever. Forever is a difficult thing to explain. How can it be forever? But if somehow you could change the element of time, then you have what we call eternity. If there was no time, then nothing ever ends. It's eternity. And of course, that's what the Bible talks about for the future. As we think about time, it's the indefinite, and these are different definitions that were given. It's the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future, regarded as a whole. Give another one. The measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. And we'll give a third one. A non-spatial system in which events appear to happen in irreversible succession. Pretty hard to define. It's hard to, you don't even remember what I just read, but it's hard to describe this element of time, yet we see that time is something we're all locked into. You can't change it. You can't speed it up. You can't slow it down. It happens the same for everybody. There's 24 hours in everybody's day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, except this year there's 366, though. You can't change that. We all have the same 24-hour day. We all have to live with this element of time. But with God, he's never in a hurry and he's never late. He's working from the perspective of eternity. So the infinite, the eternal, the beginning of days tells us God sees us differently than we see our existence here on this earth. But the matter of time is necessary to grow as a Christian. Fruitfulness is dependent upon growth. In 2 Peter 3:18, he says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever, both now and forever. Amen." So we are to grow, but it takes time to grow as a Christian. If we could just get saved and eradicate the old nature, and we were perfect, we'd be all set. But unless you know something I don't know, it doesn't happen that way. It takes time to grow. And so there is always this process that's involved. So we need to go through experiences and we need to go through struggles, but time alone does not mature a believer, does not make us fruitful. But time is necessary along with other things to make us fruitful. So a person could be saved for 40 years and not grow in grace and not be a fruitful Christian. But you cannot possibly be a mature Christian after one day of salvation. It takes time. So we have to realize that there is a progress, and it may not be swift and it may not be immediate. In some cases, God may even slow that progress. In some cases, he may even set us aside for a while. And all of these to help in the process of growing. Moses was 40 years in the wilderness. It took time. You know, sometimes young people get away from the Lord for a period of time and they have to learn some lessons, and then God uses them. Then they come back to the Lord. Paul was several years before he began his missionary journeys. You know, we get the idea that if you don't carefully read the scripture, you think, wow, Paul got saved. He went to Antioch of Syria, and then immediately he went out. No, it took 7 or 8 years for Paul to go on his missionary journeys. Why it took time? He was, you know, it takes the backside of the desert sometimes for us to learn. Why? Because growth takes time. It does not all happen immediately. Peter's growth was not immediate. Remember at the day of Pentecost, he stood up and preached and people were saved, but he went through a period of growth that took some time. It took time for him to realize his shortcomings and failures. God had to do a work in his life, and it was relatively quick in his life. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." It takes time to realize our weakness. We still think that we're stronger than we really are. We were in Sunday school talking about witnessing to people and soul winning. And one of the most difficult things when you're trying to talk to somebody about the Lord is to get them to admit that they're lost and need to be saved. They think they're all right. They think they're okay. Or they, well, I'm not perfect, but you know, I think I'm okay. I'm as good as everybody else. Or, you know, it's hard to get them to that point. And as Christians, it's hard to get a Christian to the point to realize you really need God in everything. You know, we think we can do something on our own and we think we're capable and able, but through time we realize through our failures, our shortcomings, or perhaps on the backside of a desert, our own desert, there God teaches us some things. Sometimes it's through sickness or an illness, or sometimes being in a hospital. God has time to speak to us. And it's there all along. Sometimes he might take your voice away and you have to go away for a period of time and just be silent and quiet. God has a way of teaching us, but going through trials does not automatically make us mature or make us fruitful. We have to respond properly to it. And so God uses things in our lives and difficulties and strongs and things to make us stronger in the Lord. A.H. Strong was asked by a student, "Is there a shorter course that I can take?" And he responded, "Oh yes," he replied. "Depends on what you want to be. When God makes an oak, it takes 100 years. When he makes a squash, only a few months." It takes time to be a mature believer. Growth in the tree or a Christian is not always uniform, and it may be fast for a while and then slower. When they cut down a tree, they always look at the rings and they say, "Looks like there was a dry summer. The rings are not as wide. The tree didn't grow as much." Or here there was a lot of growth. Why? Probably had a lot of rain and nutrition. It was a good summer. So we all in Christian life go through things that it takes time. To me, it's remarkable to find people, and even recently, people who are older, whatever older is, that are older. They're not kids and teenagers or young adults. They're older, and they've come to a place in their life to realize, wow, I don't know the Lord. I've not spent my life living for him. And they come back to the Lord, where they get saved. Their life is now different, but it took all that time to get to that point. But sometimes he sets us aside to teach us and help us. It's not all just like this. Spiritual growth is not one solid incline. There are dips and there's low valleys and there are mountaintops and peaks. The thing is, hopefully our lows get higher and our highs get higher. But there are dips along the way. So it's important that we grow. We're to grow in grace. We want to be a better Christian. And if you think you've arrived, you think you know everything, then you don't know anything. The first thing you ought to know is you don't know everything. You know, that's, a very simple question. You don't know what you don't know. There's a lot that we don't know. So we have to realize we need him to help us grow. And to be a stronger Christian takes time. It just takes time. And then if we are going to grow, the reason we grow is we learn how to depend upon God. We learn how to let God work in our lives and how he can change us. And he's the one that makes us stronger. So as we respond to the working of God, as different circumstances develop, and then we respond to those properly, as we apply principles in the Word of God, through time and response in the right way, we become a stronger Christian. So growth is dependent on our reliance in God. There's always the temptation to run from experiences or complain or become bitter or angry at God. And we think, why did this happen to me? Rather than embrace it and say, wait a minute, God has a purpose in it. And through those struggles and trials, if we respond properly, it strengthens us. That person is doomed to foolishly being led by the whims of the world and the experiences of emotions. And if we just react emotionally to everything, we don't grow. So we have to see God's hand in what is happening in our daily life. There are days where not a lot's going on. Of course, growing up in the country, there are a lot of days a lot was not going on. It's just routine. Just go take care of the animals, feed the animals. Go do that. Nothing going on. No big days, just days and weeks. I can remember early spring, time you plant, and getting on a tractor, and for two solid days, did not utter a single word, never saw anybody. For 2 days, just sitting on a tractor all day, every day, never said a word to anybody. Not a lot happening. But wait a minute, there was something happening. There's a development of character. There's a development of steadfastness, of just doing what you know is right. I always say, people of the greatest character are people who grew up on a dairy farm. I didn't grow up on a dairy farm, although I milk cows for different reasons, but If you have a dairy farm, how do you go on vacation when you have a dairy farm? Back in those days, if you had 30 cows, you milked them all by hand, not even an electric milker. It took 4 or 5 hours. And you got to do it twice a day. I mean, what neighbor is going to come in and say, sure, go ahead, take off for a week. I'll take care of it. I'll handle it. You didn't go on vacation. You said every day. What if you had the coronavirus? Well, just pray you don't die, just because they count on you to go milk the cows. Dad, I think I broke my leg. Well, after you milk the cows, go to the doctor. Check it out. It seems like not a whole lot's going on, but something was going on to develop character. Well, you're learning to be consistent when it's difficult, when no one knows, and you just keep doing the same thing. You could say, well, they're in a rut, but they're learning. Sometimes it takes that for us to learn. It takes time. So growth is our learning to be dependent and reliant upon God. Someone said, I think it was A.W. Tozer, God cannot use a man greatly until he wounds him deeply. Sometimes we have to have some reversals and problems and struggles to admit how much we need him. So trials alone cannot produce reliance on God. We have to respond to trials. And by responding properly, then we learn. And how do we learn? Number one, we learn by waiting on God. We anticipate God to do something, but we're patient in the meanwhile. Psalm 27, verse 13, it says, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So learning to be patient and wait on God to do something, not jumping ahead, not doing it in the flesh, not doing it in our power, but learning to depend upon him. To taste the grace and goodness of God is one thing. To establish it to manifest character and a habit of the Christ life is a different. And so we have to learn to allow that to establish it as a habit in our life. In Exodus 23, Moses is ready to follow the Lord and to go into that promised land. And he's given this information and this warning. He said, I'll not drive them out from before thee in 1 year. Now, that may have been bad news. You know, I hope this will be a quick event. I hope this will get over quickly. But it didn't. He said, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Said by little and little. Now some things happen in bunches. Sometimes great things happen. Wonderful things happen. All of a sudden, everything falls in line. But so often, it's not that way. It's just little by little. If there was something you could do as a parent, I got a lot of parents with small children. If there was one thing you could do that just resolved everything about child rearing all in one day, who wouldn't buy into that? But it takes somewhere between 18 and 35 years to teach your children what they ought to do. It takes a long time. You know, when you have a child, they're there for a long time. You don't just throw them away. They're there. You're stuck with them. You got to teach them. And you do it little by little. And that's the way so many things are in life, little by little. Fruit ripens slowly. The days of sunshine, the days of storms, all of them add to the process. My father taught me something about when you're growing corn. I said, boy, the corn needs some rain. I said, yeah, but it's okay right now because if you get too much rain, the roots stay on the top. But when it suffers just a little, the roots go down deeper into the soil. And so sometimes we need to suffer just a little to get our roots a little bit deeper and our Christian life. And that can be overwhelming, but if everything happened all at once, you get all this rain in the beginning, the roots are so shallow that there's no depth to it. And then, if a drought comes, the corn is not going to make it. So we have to learn to wait in anticipation upon the Lord to help us. And just like in Isaiah's prophecy said, you're going to be in captivity and you're going to think, there's no hope. How are we ever going to get out of this? He said, just wait. The Lord's going to answer. He's going to bring you back to that homeland of Israel. He's going to bring you back and build the temple. All these things are going to happen. Just wait and see. We have to learn to trust him. So true spiritual growth involves pain as well as joy, suffering as well as happiness, failure as well as success, inactivity as well as service, death as well as life. The temptation to take a shortcut is strong unless we see the value of submitting unto this time element. Lord, I'm willing to wait. How many young people seek marriage without waiting on God's timing and later regret it? We have to learn this concept of time is how we mature and become what he wants us to be. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it is he that works in you to will and do of his good pleasure. So as we allow God to work in our lives, the time element's not always our time element. His plan is not always our plan. So we have to learn to submit and yield, all right, God, in your time. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for every season. There's a time to, and it goes through a whole list of things, time to live, time to die, time to sorrow, and time to rejoice, and all these, there's a time for everything. There's an element of time necessary for us. And my goal this morning is to help us to be patient and realize the importance of learning, even when things seem boring, even when it seems nothing great is happening. There's no revival that broke out. Your children are not yet adults out serving the Lord and faithful to live for him. Just be faithful. Just be steady. Keep doing what you know you should be doing. Spiritual growth could be by from measure to measure, like the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. There's nothing wrong with any one of those. But the growth has a measure to it. It has stages. First, there's the blade, then the ear, then the full ear of corn. So if you're going to grow a stalk of corn, there's a process involved. And you can't change the process, nor can we change it in the Christian life. And then there's day to day, just one day after another. We go through that day, enjoy that day and that present. See, there's measurement of time. There's the past, there's the present, and there's the future. The only thing we can do anything about really is right now. We anticipate the future. We can't change the past. But the only thing we can do anything about is right now. And we have to concentrate on right now, day to day. If we're going to grow, then we have to learn to be conformed to the will of God. What is his will? What does he want? What does his word say? Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what was he pressing for? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We press toward being filled with him, of being controlled by him, of yielding and surrendering to him. When crossing the English Channel, by F.B. Meyer, on a dark night, he stood on the deck by the captain and asked him, he said, how do you know Holy Harbor on a dark night like this? And he said, well, it's pretty simple. See, there's three lights. And those three lights have to line up. When those three lights line up, I know where the harbor is. And that's kind of a picture of the will of God. When we have everything line up, we know his will. There are certain things that we have to learn. There's circumstances, there's the word of God, and there is the impulse of the Holy Spirit. So you might feel like, this is what God wants me to do. Well, does it coincide with the Bible? And through the circumstances and godly counsel, does that all line up together? Whenever all these things line up, we can find, know, and do the will of God. That's how we find the safe harbor, you might say. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 is something that should be marked in your Bible. If it's not, I encourage you to make a note of it. We read it often. But it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we do it? How do we know the will of God? How can we find the perfect will of God? Well, present your body a living sacrifice. A dead sacrifice means they kill an animal, they put it on an altar. But a living sacrifice means you are metaphorically presenting your body alive. God, what do you want me to do? But I have no control. I am totally yielded to what you want. So as we present our bodies in that way, Lord, take me, use me, however you see fit. Think about the result. Peter preached, 3,000 people were saved. John was beheaded. Stephen, stoned, filled with the Spirit of God, but stoned to death. Paul saw many churches established. How do you understand all that? Each one of them surrendered to the perfect will of God. He had a plan. We just have to let God's will take its course. And remember, all of it involves time. Just wish that, you know, when you're young, just wish I could grow up. Oh, I wish, do you remember what it was like being a student in school? And you thought, boy, what a day it'll be that I don't have to go to school every day again. Man, I look forward to that day. We're still looking for that day because we have a Bible college, we have the academy, you know, we're in school every day. But you think, oh, if I just get that, you know, at some point, you're going to stop looking forward to everything because the next step, you're going to be incapacitated and the next step is you're dead. You don't look forward to that. You don't look forward to it. Now you look forward to being in heaven. You look forward to glory. We always want to rush everything. Hey, we all have a certain span of time. We don't know how much it is. We have to realize, let's enjoy the day God's given us today. And be patient, realize it's in his control. You may live a long life and you may not. That's in God's hands. It matter of time belongs to him. Let's enjoy the time, the day that he's given us and surrender to his will and realize he has a purpose. Growth is certain if we remain faithful. The one thing that every person can do, now you may not be talented like some people, you may not be as smart as other people. You may not be as wealthy as other people. But the one thing we absolutely all can do is be faithful. Be faithful to whatever it is that God's asked you to do. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. There was an illustration mentioned by the author Wadsworth in one of his poems. And it tells a story of a bird that was carried away by the strong winds from Norway. Found its way all the way to England. And then the story goes that he was fighting the wind all the way, and then suddenly it gave way to the wind and started flowing with the wind, and he was able to fly without hardly any effort whatsoever. Sometimes we fight against the will of God. We fight against the things of God. It's like, you know, I'm going to do my thing. That's the flesh. But whenever we yield, flight comes a whole lot easier. Everything goes so much smoother. Life is so much better. Through the means of time, the Lord enlarges our capacity to accept his plan, that we might receive his blessings, and that we might be used of him. There's nothing wrong with being a child. There's nothing wrong with being in junior high. Now, if you're a boy, maybe there's a few problems, but nothing wrong with being in junior high. There's nothing wrong with being a young adult. There's nothing wrong with being an adult that just got married and has no children. There's nothing wrong with having small children in your home. There's nothing wrong with having teenagers in your home. There's nothing wrong with your children, now you're an empty nester and they're gone. There's nothing wrong with being elderly. See, God has a purpose in every period of time, and it's in his hands. And as we yield and surrender and yield to his wind and to his direction, that's how we receive the greatest blessing and the greatest fruitfulness. Our goal then is to grow. But we cannot grow without time. And we cannot grow with time until we yield and surrender to His will. But time is an element that causes us to pause and think, am I patient enough to wait on His time? Young people, wait on God's timing to get married. Wait in His timing. Do it in His time. It'll be great if you do it in His time. Don't rush it. Don't rush going through Bible college. Learn that there's something for you there. I can't wait to get out. Don't just rush into any aspect of your life, at any stage of life. Don't just rush through it, but realize all this is necessary. All this is going to help me. All this is going to develop my character or prepare me to better serve the Lord. And wherever we're at, even if it's a trial, don't just rush through the trial. Surrender and yield to that trial and realize God is doing something in my life through it. I've said numerous times that some of the most spiritual people you meet are in a hospital because they have to stop and slow down, and they can't just rush about here and there doing what they want. And when you do that, it gives you time to pause, to meditate, and allow God to speak to you and give you direction for your life. It's great to be active and busy and doing this and going here and going there, and I understand that. I like to be active and busy and do stuff, but we all need time to pause and wait upon God. Isaiah said, now you're going to be in captivity, and it's not going to be pleasant. There are going to be some negative things about being captivity. You'll be away from your homeland. But he said, they that wait upon the Lord with anticipation shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and be weary and walk and not faint. But it's important to learn to be patient and wait upon God. He has a purpose at every point in our life. Whatever's going on, embrace it. Say, God, you have a purpose in it. Let's bow for prayer this morning.